For those of you who don't know, my name's Brandon. I'm the student pastor here at the church, and really kind of grew up here in the church. And so I've been around many of you for a long time. So I know you. You may not know me, but I know you, right? I'm watching you. So I was really kind of thinking, man, what am I going to preach about this morning with zero time? And I said, okay, God, you going to show out, right? Because I don't have a lot of time here, so what do you want me to do? And I said, well, I probably need to do something I'm familiar with. So I kind of went through some sermons I've done before, and I picked one out, and I was still like, man, I don't know if this is the right one. And I was sharing with a Sunday school class. I typically, with the youth, teach out of a different Bible. And this Bible here, I have several, but I usually don't use this one. And I honestly can't tell you the last time that I did. And before I left the house this morning, I said, that other one's really small print. And I want to be able to see this one. So I grabbed this one out of my nightstand drawer. I threw it in my bag. And I said, all right, I got to go. Headed out the door. And right at the end of Sunday school, I opened it up and I was going to mark my scripture for this morning. And guess what? It was already marked there. So I can with confidence come to tell you today that God has sent me with a word for you. Amen? Amen. So I'm excited to do that for you today. Now, guys, let me give you guys, some of you guys don't know me really well, so I don't get the chance to do this a lot, so we're going to have a little fun this morning, okay? If that's okay with you, because that's all right with me, and we're just going to dig into God's Word, and we're going to have a little church, and I might get a little loud and tell you a few jokes, and as long as you give me pity laughs, we won't be here too long. There you go. That was good. Yeah, amen. Dinner's on the stove, right? Very good. So we're going to just go ahead and jump on right in. So we're going to start with our scripture, and we're going to read it through, and then we'll go back and unpack it. So this is one of my favorite stories. That's why I picked it. So verse 1. Now Ahab, we're in 1 Kings chapter 19, if you want to follow along. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, Mahola, to succeed you as prophet. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you today. God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just allow this scripture to come to life, to come off the pages and to be more than words, Lord, but that would be, we could read this story today and say, that's me, that's my life. Father, I pray that you would touch Pastor Irwin and Pastor Don where they are today, Lord, that they would very soon be feeling better. Lord, I pray that you would touch me today, Lord, that it would be your words and not mine. And Lord, I pray that you'd change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you know, I picked this story because it's one of my favorite stories. And if I'm going to be honest for a minute, Elijah is probably one of my favorite characters. And I know we're not supposed to have favorites, right? I got three kids. But Elijah is my favorite. I like them all, but he's my favorite. And so we find this, we pick up Elijah here really in the middle of the movie. So let me kind of give you a little bit of the backstory, right? You ever walked in the middle of a movie or a show and you're asking your wife, or you're like, what's going on? You know, what is happening? And there's so much. Well, you don't understand if you don't start watching it from the beginning. You don't understand why all the characters are the way they are and what they did. So we know Elijah was this great prophet in Israel. We know that he did some great things, and we won't cover them all, but we know that he, by his word, he turned off the water supply in Israel for 3.5 years, like you cut off your shower. That's pretty amazing, right? That he went, and during that time that he went to this little secret brook and got room service from the birds where God took care of him, we see where he did this great miracle with this lady and her son, a hopeless situation. We just see where Elijah was on the mountain standing proudly, full of confidence, and he slaughtered the false prophets of Baal. And then he prayed really hard with faith that the rain would come back on the land. And then he was filled with the Spirit of God and ran ahead of the chariots. I mean, so we're seeing like a highlight reel of this guy's life and all good things. But then we find all of a sudden like an interruption in the middle of the story here. And we pick it up and we're like, what's going on? And so as I read this, I want to kind of go back through it and unpack it a little bit. I've got 3 points for you today, and we'll get to those kind of as we go. But I want to start here. It says, Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I don't cut your head off, right? If you're not dead by tomorrow. And the next verse says Elijah was afraid. What? Now, wait a minute. Elijah was afraid? Now Elijah wasn't afraid. There's no way. And when I first read this, I'm like, how could he be afraid? This great man of God that did all these faith-filled things that we still talk about today, that he is this great and mighty hero. And then I went back to the verse before, and it said it was Jezebel. And I'm like, well, hell hath no fury, right? Like scorn of a woman. I mean, I've gotten that look from my wife before, you know? I told you to take out the trash. So I get it. Sometimes I've been a little bit afraid too. But it says he was afraid. And I think, wow, that just kind of is so unlike, so uncharacteristic of Elijah, where we see where this great man of faith is afraid because of a death threat. How could that be? How could that be? It's amazing, though. We see then he becomes afraid, and then he begins to run. Run? He just had this great victory where where God was with him, and he called down fire from heaven, and he slaughtered all of these prophets with a sword, single-handedly. How? How is it that he would run? You know, I think it's a very good point here to say, I don't care how long you've been coming to church, and I don't care where you are today, fear is an equalizer. Amen? And yeah, we can stand and say we're so tough and we're so full of faith and all that stuff, but the reality is when you get scared, you do crazy things, right? You become irrational. I see it with my kids all the time, right? It's amazing that at night, how scary the sound of the ice maker can be. When there's no lights on. Did you hear that? Oh. It's the ice maker. It does that all day long. But we become irrational. But you know, fear is what makes us human. To be human is to know fear. And none of us are immune. Now, we all fear different things. I don't know about you. I fear snakes. More so, I fear snakes in tight places where I can't run. I don't like heights. I'm thinking about getting on the floor right now. No, I'm kidding. So, I'm gripping this real tight, right? No. But we all have fears, and it makes us do very uncharacteristic things. Things that it's not like you to do. We become irrational. And it says that he began to run for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. Man, don't we do that? The people who are with us and love us the most, when we get fearful and we get tired of being pursued in our spiritual lives, isn't that how it starts? Where we kind of start shutting people out and turning people away? The people that God put in your life to help you, men, your helper, women, your husband, I mean, and we just kind of give them the stiff arm and keep them away because we're scared and we just want to be alone. He went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. Now, how many of you guys have ever been there where you've kind of prayed this prayer? I've had enough, Lord. I am done with this. He don't appreciate nothing I do. I am done. You hear me? D-O-N-E. I'm done. Man, these kids are so awful. Whoo. About to light them up. Man, my boss, let me tell you what, I've had enough. That's the last time that he's going to come in here and not appreciate the work I do. It's the last year I ain't getting no raise. You hear me? I am on Indeed.com. You hear what I'm saying? That resume is hot and ready like the sign at Krispy Kreme, baby. It's hot and ready. It's the last time now. I've had enough. I've had enough. God, I've had enough. I quit. Nobody appreciates me. Pity party time. Woe is me. Right? How many times you had that conversation with somebody and they say, what's wrong? And you say, well, this is what's wrong, but honey, if you just knew my story. I mean, if you just knew the things they said about me on Facebook. I mean, and then you say, but let me tell you what about their kids. I mean, have you seen? It's bad, okay? So, yeah, we get very defensive, and we say, have pity on me. Woe is me. I'm a pity party. I'm going to die. We're in rebellion. It's acting like a child. I'm going, is this Elijah? I just read, like, several chapters of greatness. What is happening right now? We go forward just a couple of verses. It says he lay down to go to sleep. It says in verse 5, all at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. Get up and eat. He didn't bring anything to eat with him. He looked around and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. That brings us to our first point. Do you know I'm so thankful that my relationship with God is not based off of my performance. Amen. That even in my rebellion, even in my pity party, even when I'm running from, even when I'm afraid, even when I'm running from the things that God wants me to do and what he has set me on a course to do in my life, and I am running from him, he is pursuing me. So many times in life, that's not how we respond, right? Somebody walks out on us or somebody does this and say, well, I didn't move. I'm right here. You can come on back whenever you get ready, but I ain't coming after you. You made your bed. You can sleep in it. Even when we cause our own problems, he's pursuing us. And we talk all the time about how God goes before us and God goes beside us, but he's chasing behind us too. Even in our rebellion, he's providing. Even when we don't appreciate it, even when we turn a blind eye to it, I didn't read any there where he woke up and said, "Thank you, Lord." I don't see that. Oh, I'm being stupid. Let me go. That's right. Let me get back to work. Okay, I'm sorry. No, he doesn't do that. He took it for granted. And God still provided. So when you're fearful and when you're running and when you've lost faith and you're just out of gas, there's no gas left in the tank, he still pursues. He still provides. Even when we rebel, he provides. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty thankful for that. So it says that he got up and he ate again, and then he went on 40 days, 40 nights. Verse 8, it says, so he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night. Now, can I tell you something this morning? He was headed originally to the right place. He was headed to the mountain of God, but went in a cave. He was real close to the mountain of God. He was so close, but he missed it. Can I tell you that you can come to church and still be in a cave? You may be sitting here this morning. You said, I come to God's house. No, you didn't. You're near it. You're close it. You're close to it. I can sit on the pier by the water all day long, but I'm not going to be a fish. So come in here just enough, like, well, I got here, Lord. Bless me if you can. It's not enough. Close. Sometimes we get it close and we think, if I get in the vicinity of it, then God is going to just do this. I don't have to do any work. I came here, I'm going to plop down in a chair, and I'm going to muddle and gripe and complain and growl and scowl and do everything else. And God's just going to miraculously change my circumstances and change my heart. I am here to tell you that that will not work. Is it working for you now? So he's close, but he went into a cave. He went into a cave. And it says, and the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, I wonder in my own mind, like, you ever notice, like, what you say, and the where you emphasize what words depends on, like, the connotation of how that goes, how that sentence is taken, you know? So I wonder what it looked like. I wonder what he said. I wonder if he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? You who know better. You who follow after me, you who have seen the works of my hands, you who have been filled with my spirit and who have done great things to the in front of the nations who've been my guy. What are you doing? I expected other people to be here, but not you. Why you? Why are you here? Or I wonder if he said it like this. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing in this cave, man? Why are you in a cave? I didn't call you to be a hobbit or live in a cave somewhere, to be a mountain dweller. I didn't call you to be live in a cave. I called you to be great, for greatness. I handpicked you. I called you out. What are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, verse 10, and this is where we get when we're trying to, now we've had the pity party, now we're trying to justify our actions. right? Well, if you only knew what they said about me. Well, if you only knew what they did to me. Well, if you only know. So I'm going to quit. He replied, he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Well, Pastor, the reason that I don't sing anymore is because somebody hurt my feelings. Well, the reason I don't teach anymore is because my life, my family is in shambles. My job is just too busy. I'm fill in a blank, excuse. I wonder, don't answer this out loud, but I wonder how many of you have said this in your own life. You know what? I just need a break, right? A Kit Kat, baby. Give me a break. I just need, listen, I'm not stepping away. I just need just a little break. I'm just tired. Just need a break. I'm wore out. I need a break. How long you been on that break? Y'all ain't never going to have me back, ever. I'm going to stay over there in children's church from now on. It was nice knowing you. You know, my folks at work, I work for a credit union. I manage a credit union. And you know, if my people said I'm taking a break, as long as some of y'all take breaks, I think they quit. We're never coming back. Do you know statistically says if you quit doing something for 3 weeks, you might as well quit doing it for 6 months? How easy is it if you stop doing something for 3 weeks, do you know how hard it is to come back? To get started again? Because it has become, here's the deal, we form habits and then our habits form us. So this misconception of, I just need to be restored. Whoa. What do you mean you want to be restored? He said that the burden and the yoke was easy, baby. This ain't supposed to be hard. What you mean you need a break from church? To do what you were created to do? This ain't supposed to be hard. This is supposed to be fun. Y'all may not be, but I'm having fun today. That's what you were created to do. Now, you may need a break from a lot of things. You need a vacation. Hey, Lord Jesus, I need one too, all right? But taking a break, that's a dangerous thing. It has become this coined phrase that we use to justify walking away from something that we just don't want to say. You hurt my feelings. You made me mad. You did this. I don't agree. So instead of having a real conversation, we just avoid confrontation and say, it's not you, it's me. I'm just going to step away for a while. I'm going to take a break. It's dangerous. And that's what Elijah's saying right here. Verse 11, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Second point, go out and stand. Get up off that padding and just go out and stand because my presence is about to pass by. Get up and eat. Now it's time to go out and stand because I'm trying to rehab you to get you back where I want you to be. So let me do this. Let me tell you to go out and stand because I'm about to do something. I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to put a little bit of effort and go out and stand and let me do the rest. Because what I want to do today is remind you of who I am, who you are, and what I called you to do. To reassure you that I have not taken my hand off of you. To reassure you that my spirit still lives in you. That you still can make it. That you're not done. You're not retired. Right? I hear it all the time, right? So you may retire from pastoring, but you don't retire from ministering. Ain't that right, Mark? Amen. You don't get to quit. You don't get to quit. I'm done. I'm going to pass it on, let somebody of these younger folks take it on. What are you talking about? You're here, right? We need you. We can use you. You're smarter than me. I'm not that smart. But his response to his justification of his pity party was, let me just remind you of who I am. So he tells him to go out, number one, get your butt up out of the cave. Because you know what? Here's the funny thing. People that go into caves don't bring themselves out. If you don't, let me tell you this. If you don't have somebody in your life that loves you enough to come chasing after you and to pull you out, let me tell you something. You really need to reevaluate the characters in your story. Because you better have somebody who's going to come and say, you need to get up and you need to come on out here and get out of that cave where it's dark and come stand in the light. So he says, I want you to go out. Amen. The Lord's about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore through the mountains. Tore them apart. I want you to get a visual of this. Right? Tore the rocks apart before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Wait, what? Earth, wind, fire? Captain Planet, he's our hero. I told you I couldn't sing, right? So, why? Why wasn't God in any of those things? Because it wasn't God's power that Elijah needed to be reminded of. And fire's hard to make. Did you know that? You ever seen Castaway? That joke's hard. Kudos, God. Fire out of nothing. Right? He says it came in a gentle whisper. And God was in the whisper. And when he heard his voice, he pulled his cloak over his head. Because he knew that was the Lord. Do you know why the Lord whispers? He whispers so you can hear him when he's really close. You can't hear a whisper from far away. God whispered because he wanted him to know. I'm close. I'm right here beside you. And I never left you. Because that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants you to stay in that cave where it's dark. Because guess what? In caves, that's where darkness abounds. That's where sin will grow. That's where you will lose your way. And you will stumble around in the darkness and you will never find your way out. So you see the light and you walk towards it. And all along the way, God went into that cave. Went into the muck and the dirty and the darkness. Because he said, there ain't no place you're going to go hide that I'm not going to come looking for you. And I'm going to come and find you. And I'm going to call you out. I'm going to call you out of that place. See, the devil shouts lies. God whispers truth. He will whisper truth. The devil will say, you're not worth it. You're a fraud. Nobody wants to listen to what, if they only knew your real life, if they only knew your past, if they only knew about your childhood, if they only knew how you scream and yell at your kids and then you come in here and try to act like you got it all together, you ain't good enough. You're pretending, you're a poser. Don't nobody want you. Jesus gets in your ear and he says, you're worth it. I died for you. I love you. You're going to make it. You are special. You are something great. I have a plan and a purpose for your life. And it ain't here. It's out there. Listen for the whisper. Sometimes we want this big, great sign. We just got to slow down. And pardon the phrase, but shut up, stop talking, and let the voice of God whisper his love and his grace and his forgiveness and his redemption and his love and his purpose for your life. It says he heard it. Verse 13, and he pulled his cloak over his face. And when he heard the whisper of God, he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then God asked him again, what are you doing here, Elijah? What was that? That sobering question. Now, I asked you a minute ago when you were still so self-absorbed and being selfish and it's all about me and pity, but now that you have, we've recalibrated now where you are and now you remember that I am yours and I am with you and you're in the palm of my hand and I am with you wherever you go and yes, I have a plan for you and yes, it may be tough, but I will give you strength to get through it all. Now, what are you doing here? Oh, yeah, I shouldn't be here. I got somewhere to go. He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And he said the same thing, but I think it was different this time. The first time, I think it was a bunch of whining and complaining and all that stuff. This time, I think it was he was having to come to terms with his behavior. And what he had done, I think he was repenting. God, this is what I've done. I'm not proud of it. This is what's happened. And this is truth. My feelings are true. Your feelings that you feel, the fear, the resentment, the abandonment, all those things that you may be feeling that may be sidelining you in life and your purpose for God, those feelings are very real. But they are not God's reality. They may be real. They are, those feelings are real. But you don't, your life is not composed of self-fulfilled prophecies, thank heavens. That you are not in charge. And that I'm not in charge. So I think he's confessing. I think he's repenting. I think he's coming to terms with his behavior at this point. Verse 15, then the Lord said to him, go back the way you came. And I'm not going to read all those words again because I can't probably pronounce it very good. That's a first lesson, right? Don't pick a scripture that you can't pronounce the words, right? I did it anyway. The kids never know the difference, but y'all, you guys do, right? That's my third point. Go back the way you came. Go back to work. Even in my rebellion, he pursues me. Get up and eat. Let me sustain you. And I will provide for you even when you don't acknowledge that I am. And I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of that before. That in that moment, I'm not giving God a whole lot of praise. I'm just like, well, maybe it was a coinkydink. I don't know. Right? Well, it's because I worked real hard. They finally noticed me. No. No. God was providing for me all along the way. And then no matter where I go, he will come and pursue me. and call me out, to remind me of who he is and who I am in him. Go out and stand. Just stand. Let me show you who I am. And when we come to that realization, God says, good. Now go back to work, because I'm not finished with you yet. I want you to go back from what you were running from. Let me remind you who you are, and I'm not finished with you. And just because you've done this crazy thing and you've gone AWOL and off the radar, I'm not like, well, I'm done with him. I'll pick somebody else. God could have picked someone else. God didn't have to use Elijah. God didn't have to use me. And he didn't have to use you. He wants to. He believes in you. He believes in me. He believed in Elijah. Not based on what he saw on the outside, but because of the condition of his heart and his character and his integrity and the Spirit of God that he put inside of him. So get back to work. So I just want to know, I wonder this morning, how many of us are here today and you have wandered yourself into a cave? You've wandered into this cave, and maybe you've been a resident for a really long time and you don't know how to get out. Maybe you've tried a couple of times on your own power and you just feel like, well, this is it. This is where I'm going to spend the rest of my life, in this cold, dark, desolate place. It doesn't have to be that way. Today can be your day. This can be your moment. Because here's the thing. If this happened to Elijah, none of us are immune. And you can be coming here week in and week out and still be in a cave. So you can, he's talking to you. No, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to him. This morning, are you tired? Man, are you tired of just getting by, surviving, just week to week, just in the normal thing? And you're like, I'm done. I've hit my prime, man. Past my prime. God's done all the great things in me. He's gonna do. Well, I think God would have done some great things with me, but I did some pretty boneheaded things. And I don't think God can. If Brandon, if you knew, though, I mean, I this sounds great. Pie in the sky, oh, God loves it. But if you really knew that I've walked away and I've got these addictions and I've got these deep hurts that I don't know that I can get rid of, I don't know if I can move past all that. Yes, you can. Not on your own, but yes, you can. And this morning, I promise you, every single one of you still has something to do for God. And the truth is, many of us are probably not doing it or fulfilling it the way that we're doing enough to go through the motions, but we're not really doing what it is that God truly wants us to do. So I'm going to give you an opportunity here in a minute to come out of that cave. And I believe that God himself would be standing here if he could and said, I think he sent me to tell you that it is time to come out of your cave. And he's here with arms extended to you saying, I want you. Come on out and let's get back to doing what you were born to do. And you know how I know that? One last scripture. Philippians 1 and 6. And this is what it says. Confident, being confident of this. Not, well, somebody told me. Not, well, I read it in a book somewhere. To be confident means to know. Means you cannot change my mind. I know it. I feel it. And I don't care what you say. I'm confident. You don't have to support that, but I'm confident. My confidence comes from somewhere. But being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you We'll carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I don't see him here. So you're not done yet. Church, would you stand with me this morning? And I'm not all about a show or about anything like that, but I just, and it's completely okay with me if nobody does, but I believe that that's a bold move to come out of that cave. It's a bold move. I wish I could tell you that I just ask you to sit in your seat and just raise your hand. That's me, right? And we just have a little prayer and send you out. But I think it's bigger than that. I think you've been in a cave for a long time. God wants to call you out. So I'm going to pray, and then I would love the opportunity to just pray with you. And you know what? To have people that love you that will come down here and will lock arm in arm with you and say, you know what? I'm not letting you drift back in a cave anywhere. God's going to use you. God wants to do things in you. So I'm going to pray. And if I've spoke to anybody this morning, just ask you to come down. There's no judgment here, okay? Because I'm going to go down, okay? I have inconsistencies in my life too. But I'd love the opportunity to spend, to share some time in prayer with you and make a commitment together that we're going to go forward in the life that God has called us to do. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, God, I love you this morning. Lord, I thank you that you have given me this opportunity to proclaim your word. And Lord, I pray that you would deal right now with the hearts of your people. God, that we would have the courage and the boldness and the tenacity and the integrity and the character to be bold, to come down and make a declaration to you that we are stepping out of where we've been and stepping into the light of what it is that you want us to do, and we'll follow you and we'll get back to work and what it is that you called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's you, would you just come? Can we pray together? I'll just wait just a couple of moments. If there's nobody else, then that's completely fine too. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your boldness. And I believe God wants to reveal himself to you in this place today. He wants to remind you of who you are. Not what others have labeled you to be or what society has said because of things that have happened that your life is going to be. Your life is in God's hands. Pray with you. God, I thank you. Oh, Heavenly Father, for your people. God, I thank you that when we are at our worst, God, you are at your absolute best. That you don't leave us, that you don't forsake us, that you don't abandon us, that you don't leave us to just wallow in self-pity, Lord, and you don't leave us to just expire, Lord, and to sulk and sour in our own pity, but Lord, that you pursue us and you love us, not with discipline, but with love. Lord, with mercy and with grace. And Lord, I just pray that in this moment, God, I pray that your grace and your mercy would fall like a shower from heaven, Lord, on your people. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us. God, to remind us of what you called us to do. Lord, and to give us fresh vision about what it is that you want us to do. And not to wait, not to look to someone else, but to do what you called us to do. You could have used somebody else, but you chose me. And you chose us. And Lord, nobody can do what you sent us to do. So God, give us the resources, give us the strength, give us the courage, give us the boldness to walk in faith in you, Jesus, today. Lord, I pray that we would leave this place different than the way that we came today. Lord, I pray that you would renew us, refresh us, give us fresh vision. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people that pull others out of the caves. Lord, that you would surround us and our lives with people who love us and care for us enough that are not going to let us go quietly into the night, but are going to pursue us and fight for us and come and get us and lift us up. And Lord, if we've got people in our lives that don't want the best for us and just want to watch us fail, Lord, I pray that you give us the courage to sever ties with those relationships because they are toxic, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit being with us today, speaking to our hearts. Now, Lord, as we leave this place today, Lord, I pray that we don't just walk out those doors. I pray that we walk out those doors as the Lord's army. Lord, equipped and ready. Lord, expecting a battle. Lord, we know that you said that we need to put on the full armor of God because we should expect the attack. So, Lord, I pray that you would equip, that you would put a hedge of protection around your children this morning. Lord, as they leave this place and they go to lunch and they go back to work tomorrow and they go to deal with their families, God, that you would just give them grace. Lord, that when things go bad, that you would whisper the truths that you know about them, that you love them, Lord. That this week would be a banner week, a week of victory for them. They'd walk back into that workplace, God, and people would see a change in them. Lord, and that you would draw all people to you. Lord, I pray that you would send your healing touch to our pastor and our associate pastor this morning, God, to touch them, to heal them, so they can be back to do what you called them to do very soon. Lord, we love you today. We give you praise. We give you our honor. We give you our hearts and our lives, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Yes. We bless your name, Lord. Let your glory fall in this place, Lord.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for touching us. You know what we need. We worship you, we honor you with our lives because you gave it all for us. This is love. Not that we love you, but that you loved us first. Lord, let us live our lives in response to your love, your adoration for us.
Before we depart, can we just give the Lord just a little bit of praise this morning for what he's done in our hearts? Amen. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.